So welcome again this morning in Saal Dijkstra. You got up very early to attend this talk because it's on a very interesting subject. Many of you, I guess, are already makers or are interested in making stuff and modifying things that the vendor just throws at you and says use as it is, and you say no, I want to do stuff that I like with it. And today we have two people here who think very much alike. The subject of the talk today is making experts makers and makers experts. Today with us are Daniel Wesolek and Isabel Deschamps, and the stage is yours.
Thank you. First of all, thanks for inviting us. We're actually quite glad because this is the first time we're here on the stage. And yesterday I was looking through the door and there were so many people, so I was really intimidated and a little bit afraid. So bear with us. First of all, the title of the talk, experts for us are like user experts, people that are in specific situations, that have specific needs, that know exactly what they want, what they could need, what could help them, what's the situation for them in order to improve their things. And it's often little details that like engineers and other people developing stuff can't tell. So we worked in a way that we brought them together with makers in order to do in a co-creation process right away the connection of both in order to figure out right away what's needed, what could be solutions, what are ways to do something. This merges then, of course, it's not on the one hand you have like users and on the other hand you have like, I don't know, geeks and maker people. Of course, they overlap. Like people that we were working with in the big team was like, were like developing like a bamboo wheelchair or like a bike frame. So some people are engineers and sit in a wheelchair, and other people, make stuff. So this is our symbol for active makers in wheelchairs or interested in wheelchairs. We wanted to say a quick word about us before coming to Berlin last year and getting dragged into this project. I was in Singapore and was working on a little bit of a similar thing. From the broad context, there in the Augmented Human Lab, as a postdoc, I developed with people together a flashlight or like an indication, start indication light for people that are swimmers and deaf. And so in the beginning, they only had one flashlight on the side. So we made like individual lights that are compatible with the timing system, and like you could look at them. And this was really a nice start for me to work in this direction. Isa?
Yeah, thanks, and hello from my side as well. My professional background is in industrial design, and I'm working a lot with facilitating co-creation, and this is why I started working together with Daniel, because he brings in this technical perspective. I brought a little example of a project that I've been running this years with my team from BeAble, and I think it describes, or these two images describe pretty well what my work is about. It's really about bringing people together at a table with very different perspectives and have them in a co-creation process in order to change their environment by themselves. And it's a lot about integration as well. So these two images that you see here are from a project that we've been running in a prison or in a forensic clinic, where we were developing tools and concepts for a better reintegration of the patients. But today we want to talk about a different project, and that's where
made for my wheelchair.
And Daniel already gave us a little introduction in how he came to this quite abstract title of bringing together experts and makers and merging them in order to have the power of both perspectives profit from each other and to become critical mass to design stuff together. In Made for My Wheelchair, we were designing do-it-yourself add-ons that were distributed open source, and they have been designed in this co-creation process where we had 7 wheelchair users, a few makers that were changing here and there, and some designers leading the team. It was financed by the Bundesministerium of Bildung und Forschung and run in FabLab Berlin together with our non-profit organization called Be Able. Inspired, or the inspiration for running this project came from our friend Raul, who bought himself a 3D printer and just started experimenting with it. And we found this very interesting, and we talked together with him, and we thought, man, there are so many possibilities in using maker technologies software. We should give more access to this technologies. And as some other friends of us were running the FabLab Berlin, we just put all this stuff together and made the project out of it. And now we would like to give you a super short, show you a short video that tells pretty much about the project, and then it's our plan to give you some insights in the process, how we put that up, and also we want to talk a bit about one of our results. So, there we go.
Mein Name ist Raul Krauthausen, ich bin 37 Jahre alt, komme aus Berlin, bin Aktivist für Inklusion und Barrierefreiheit und finde, dass Rollstühle bei Weitem noch nicht das sind, was sie sein könnten, nämlich attraktiv, modern und cool. Einer meiner großen Herausforderungen ist das Thema Beleuchtung. Beleuchtung, um nachts besser sehen zu können mit dem Rollstuhl, aber auch, um nachts besser gesehen zu werden.
Ich bin Nikolai. Ich habe vor ein paar Jahren mit Freunden das FabLab Berlin gegründet. FabLabs gibt es auf der ganzen Welt und jeder hat dort Zugang zu digitalen Fertigungstechnologien. Zum Beispiel Lasercutter, 3D-Drucker, CNC-Fräsen.
Ich bin Hanna, bin 22 Jahre alt und studiere gerade Urbanistik in Berlin. Und in dem Projekt Made for My Wheelchair, da entwickeln wir gerade Produkte für den Rollstuhl, sogenannte Add-ons, zum Beispiel dieses Belichtungsset hier.
Ich bin Wei Wei, ich bin Designer bei Be Able. In dem Projekt arbeiten wir in einem interdisziplinären Team von Designern, Rollstuhlfahrern und Technikern.
Angefangen hat alles auf dem Hackathon 2016 auf der Maker Faire, wo rollstuhlfahrende Menschen definiert haben, was sie sich wünschen, zum Beispiel in Bezug auf Interaktion mit nichtbehinderten Menschen, Beleuchtung am Rollstuhl, Stauraum.
Und aus diesen Bedürfnissen heraus haben wir Ideen entwickelt, wo wir dann kleine Modelle, also sogenannte Prototypen basteln, aus Pappe oder anderen Materialien. Und das ist total inspirierend, finde ich, wenn man das mit seinen eigenen Händen irgendwie schafft.
Ja, hier haben wir alle Komponenten, die wir zum Bau eines Lichts brauchen. Die kosten weniger als 20 Euro. Mit unserer Anleitung könnt ihr die ganz einfach zusammenbauen. Das Ganze ist Open Source. Das heißt, ihr könnt sowohl die Gehäuse als auch die Lichteffekte verändern und weiterentwickeln.
Wir haben 2 Scheinwerfer vorne am Rollstuhl, dann eine Unterbodenbeleuchtung und ein Rücklicht.
Durch mehrere Testingrunden haben wir die Beleuchtungen ständig verbessert, sodass man das leicht nachbauen kann und intuitiv benutzen kann.
Unser Anspruch war es, dass die Dinge am Ende gut aussehen und nicht nach Sanitätshaus.
Mein persönlicher Favorit ist die Unterbodenbeleuchtung, weil man die von außen nicht so sieht und es ist aber abends total der Hingucker. Und gerade wenn man mit Freunden irgendwie unterwegs ist, dann macht das voll was her.
Hast du Lust bekommen, das auch zu bauen?
Dann ist hier dein Raum für deine Ideen, wo du alles individuell gestalten kannst und das ist super cool.
Komm zum FabLab, macht euch vertraut mit den Maschinen und dann baut euch ein richtig cooles Beleuchtungsset.
Es gibt nichts Gutes, außer man tut es.
So, this video we produced in the end in order to share, but before to share it with a lot of people, as you saw, there was an open call in the end, but before there was like 1 year of preparing this for this moment, and basically, or even longer actually, because the planning was before. Basically, we had three phases in this project. And the first phase was the scout phase, where it was very dear to us to find the right people to be in this project. So we were looking through different channels. We spoke to a lot of people to compose a diverse team of people who were creative, but also had certain skills and had certain needs. And we invited them to come to the Fab Lab and to the Maker Faire for a first hackathon. And the first phase was also about the need finding and producing a lot of ideas, a really wide range. The second phase was really about concentrating and focusing a bit more, and the making. We had an alpha making phase and a beta making, making phase, and we had a lot of iterations and testings. And the third phase was the sharing, the publishing and the distribution of the results with instructions and a lot of things to consider. So the first day was really about meeting the group and understanding the needs of our team, of the seven wheelchair users that we chose or that came together to do this. And we really started from scratch. So we didn't have any clue about what products would come out of this project. We knew there would be products, that was our scope to design them, but we had no idea what they were about. And after we had this first visualization that you saw on this right image there, we came overnight to four different clusters that we thought there's a lot of potential to ideate into these, so to find ideas in those clusters. That was transport and storage, especially transport, because for example, shopping is really difficult for people in wheelchairs very often. Or they have assistance that when they have an electric wheelchair, they kind of have a different speed walking next to each other. Very related to this was the topic of human interaction, how to bring people on eye level when one is sitting in a wheelchair and the other one is standing or needs a chair. The second topic or line is whether particularly working with really bad weather conditions like snow in the winter, and also connected to this was the topic of lighting, being seen and seeing in the darkness. And with these topics, we went to the Maker Faire in 2016, and we even invited some more people to our tables, and we provided them with materials and paper and pens, and became really wild and prototyping and ideating. So this was this whole day and this whole hackathon was just about finding as many solutions as possible for the needs that we had discovered before. And as you see here, we haven't just been visualizing with pens. We also had like these little plastic wheelchairs that we 3D printed beforehand that could be equipped with little models of things that we were wishing to have. Yeah, there are a few more. So we were physically trying to make the stuff that we were imagining that could be cool. With found objects, with rough material, and it was going really fast for a big quantity of things.
The little one on the left, the little image, is a telescope lamp, for example. Someone wanted a lamp that you can like extend, and then you have this glowing object that shows, gives you light from above, as an example.
Yeah, so very low fidelity prototypes for having the possibility to have a really wide range of ideas. And from there, we went one step further. We came to the second phase, which was the making phase. And in a discussion with our inclusive team, we decided for three projects that we wanted to take further in the second phase. That was trying to make snow chains, actually, transportation and lighting. And we.
Die Kinder das? Also können die das programmieren? Ja, also es ist keine Frage, die können das auf jeden Fall. Also hier sieht man, die sind recht klein. Und das sind übrigens diese Roboter. Und die können das ohne Probleme alleine programmieren. Da ist jetzt auch gar kein Erwachsener dabei. Und die machen das einfach. Und das nächste Beispiel, das ist hier vom Bundeswettbewerb Informatik, der Informatik Biber. Und die machen so informatische Denkaufgaben, so Rätselaufgaben. Und diese Aufgabe hier, die ist jetzt für Kinder ab Klasse 3. Und die Aufgabe geht so, also man hat hier zwei Ventilstellungen, einmal Ventil zu, dann geht kein Wasser durch. Und einmal offen, dann lässt das Wasser durch. Dann haben wir hier zweimal Wasser und drei Blumen. Okay, welche Blume bekommt Wasser? Genau, die mittlere. Ne? Und die Frage ist jetzt, solche Aufgaben, also solche Informatikaufgaben, können die Kinder das ab Klasse 3? Kriegen die das hin? Ja, das ist auch gar kein Problem. Also hier sieht man jetzt mal, das sind jetzt Viertklässler. Und die lösen diese Aufgaben und die haben jetzt Kopfhörer auf, damit die sich besser konzentrieren können. Also damit die jeder für sich an der Aufgabe arbeiten. Und ja, kein Problem, die können das. Und ja, jetzt ist hier ein Roboter und der wird textuell in C++ programmiert. Und da haben wir hier ein Programm, das besteht nur aus einer einzigen Anweisung. Und zwar hier Bob 3, Set LED, I1, White. Das heißt also, mit der Anweisung wird das Auge 1 hier in Weiß eingeschaltet. Und jetzt ist die Frage, wenn ich jetzt eine Zeile schreiben wollen würde, um das zweite Auge einzuschalten, was würde ich dann schreiben? Und die Frage ist, können die Kinder das? Also im Grunde können die textuell programmieren lernen. Und würde denen das auch Spaß machen? Also das wäre auch noch die Frage. Und mit diesen Fragen hat sich von Januar bis Juni diesen Jahres ein Modellprojekt beschäftigt in Aachen. Da haben 7 Schulen teilgenommen, 5. und 6. Klasse, 14 Lehrerinnen und Lehrer und 223 Schüler. Und ach ja, genau, damit die ein bisschen motiviert und positiv an das Ganze rangehen, war die erste Aufgabe, dass die kleine Hardware, die dann anschließend programmiert werden soll,